Jeremy McGrath to the inside. Can he box him out? Here comes Ewing. Oh, my goodness. Jeremy McGrath. Look at that. Jeff Ewing takes over the lead, number one. The number two, Jeff Ewing. The fans are all out of their seats with good reason.
When I was a teenager, I was a big fan of this rivalry. Couldn't get enough of Jeremy McGrath and Jeff Ewing slamming each other on the track and in the sepia-toned pages of Cycle News. Here we are, 30 years later, and they're autographing the same piece of artwork. Of the 100 they signed, only 40 are left as of March 13th, 2026. Get yours at shop.wewentfast.com. Time heals wounds and softens the bitter taste of rivalries. That's my best explanation for why they agreed to this collaboration with us in the first place. Rivals. McGrath vs. Ewing 1996 is an 18x24-inch art print for $249. It's autographed by both MC and Fro. Snap yours up before they're gone. Shop.wewentfast.com. And now, Jeremy McGrath versus Jeff Ewing. The numbers behind the rivalry that helped make 90s moto great.
Jeremy McGrath taking a quick lead as he goes up the stair steps.
The guy that wants it the most right now is the guy that's going to win this race.
Cutting to the inside, though, is Jeff Ewing, number two. It'll be Ewing with the lead. Ewing taking the lead in the whoops.
Jeremy McGrath versus Jeff Ewing is a memory now. The animosity that fueled the hatred and made for juicy Cycle News copy died with the distance cleaved by time. McGrath and Ewing have been husbands and fathers twice as long as they battled head-to-head in Supercross and Motocross. It's funny how detestation can morph into appreciation. Because in the mid-1990s, these two abhorred each other. Now they're co-producing a documentary and autographing an art collaboration. Between 1989 and 1999, McGrath and Ewing faced off 198 times in AMA 125 and 250 competition. MC bested Fro 127 times, and Ewing topped McGrath in 71 races. They finished 1-2 or 2-1 in 28 of those races, and slammed into each other along the way an incalculable number of times. At the peak of their rivalry in 1996, MC and Fro went 1-2 or 2-1 in 13. That's half of the Pro Motocross Moto's run that summer. Championships? They went head-to-head in 15 different championship point series and, combined, won 12 of them. When the cover sheet of the Rivals art collaboration was pulled away, McGrath was pleased to see his handlebars in front of Jeff Ewing's. Ewing, however, held the inside line, a familiar sight in many Supercross and Motocross races where they faced off.
This situation right here, this happened a lot all that year, right? We were together a lot. It's not my favorite situation all the time because it was kind of a pain in the ass sometimes, you know what I mean, like racing him. But, you know, he made me better, so it's not a lot I can say bad about it.
Ewing has similar sentiments when he first saw the print and smiled wide.
A couple decades ago, I would have looked at this picture a lot different than what I look at it now. Rivalries are difficult, and certainly Jeremy and I's relationship was, you know, pretty contentious, and that fueled us both to ride to the level and do what we did as racers. But now I look more on it that I appreciate that I was able to live that life and I had that challenge put in front of me.
You know, I think some of my favorite races were against Ewing were outdoor, because he was so good at outdoor and I was not good for so long, and I finally got better at it, and then I cracked the code on how to beat him. And some of my favorite wins were when I was like behind him in outdoor and I'd beat him and go 1-1. I mean, always those days winning a national, winning two national motos on the same day. I mean, you just felt like you got ran over by a truck.
So Jeremy McGrath, curling around on the final lap, takes the checkers, and there is a happy young man. He did all he could do here this afternoon.
They always felt so accomplished, and Jeff was so good at it, so I just really look back and go, man, it's pretty neat that I was able to figure that out and how to crack the code, and I had enough discipline and enough drive to go get that done. Cause I, you know, for the longest time, I just wasn't really ready. I wasn't willing to put in the effort. I wasn't willing to just go as far as I needed to go to get it done.
The memories are getting fuzzy for Emig, and he's recently spent a lot of time reacquainting himself with his career while working on the Moto 90s documentary with The Hammer Factory.
Dude, I've done interviews talking about races, and now that we have YouTube and stuff around, I'll go back and watch the race, and it's not at all like I remember. And I've already been on record with interviews talking about it happened this way. And then I watch the race back and I go, that's not at all how I remember it.
Yeah, memories.
And I've already done interviews talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even close, not even right. You're like.
There are two races, however, where he needs no help. The 1996 St. Louis Supercross and the 1996 Steel City Pro Motocross. The former was the race that ended McGrath's 13-race Supercross win streak.
Here's the second to the last turn. Emig, flawless. McGrath is not close enough to make a move on the final turn. It is Jeff Emig.
I don't believe it, Art. I don't think Emig does either. He jumped about 10 feet past the landing of that finish line jump, hands in the air.
The latter was the one where he took McGrath's pro motocross crown.
What a proud moment it has to be for this young man and for the entire Team Kawasaki. Yes, he's saying to himself, I did do it.
Steel City 96 was, you know, of course, that was a good one. Like, he even passed me the first lap, and I just passed him right back and was like, not this time.
But the day didn't start off well. Emig came into the race with a slim 2-point lead, essentially a winner-take-all situation, and Emig spooked himself in the morning warm-up.
So I'm chasing Jeremy's second practice, and I come out of that turn, and I get the front wheel up, and I looped out and ripped off my rear fender.
Oh.
And that's second practice, so that's how I ended my preparation for the race. I came back and told J-Bone, like, the throttle stuck or something. I don't know what happened. And he swears that after the race that I admitted that the throttle never stuck. He goes, and we had to change out the carburetor. We had to change out throttle housing, new throttle tube, new throttle cable. We redid everything on the bike. I'm like, I don't remember that, but if you say that happened, then that happened. Quite embarrassing, the ride of shame. I made up for it, though, at least, so.
The rivalry, however, peaked that day here, was recuperating from a wrist injury. And it all ended as unceremoniously as it began at the 1989 Anaheim Supercross, when a Team Green kid from Missouri hit the track with a BMX racer from Sun City, California. They finished 10th and 11th, respectively, in the 125 class. 10 years and scores of wins later, they raced against each other for the final time. It was the 1999 Washougal Pro Motocross, a rather inglorious day for both of them. McGrath was on a come-as-he-pleases program, and Emig only scored one top five overall all summer long. Emig went 37-11 for 17th, and McGrath went 5-9 for 8th overall in one of the last Pro Motocross rides of his career.
Jeremy's got to be feeling like $1 million right now. Just focus. He's in the horseshoe turn. He sees the checkers in sight. Finish line jump. Jeremy McGrath goes down as the most prolific winner to start a Supercross season in the history of the sport.
We needed that. We each needed that. So it helped me be smarter. It helped me be faster and more determined. And if the whole thing was easy over those years, then maybe I wouldn't have lasted as long. You know, there was always something to shoot for.